So we actually recently conducted a survey of 25 AML investigators. You actually were nice enough to participate. One of the things that we saw that was really interesting was older patients with either IDH or FLT3, where, you know, without those abnormalities, we saw the investigators uniformly using venetoclax HMA. But then the question comes up, what about those same patients when they have either FLT3 or IDH? Do you add it in? Do you not use it? How do you approach that?
It is difficult. We're actually, you know, now having an abundance of choices. So it's actually, I think even a few years ago, you had a 75-year-old patient with comorbidities with AML. I tell you, we would have just said, oh, go home. You know, one option would be hospice, right? Then we started using some hypomethylating agents. And now we're like confounded. We have pills, we have IDH mutations, FLT3 mutations, venetoclax, glostigib, you know, where do we go? I think that my approach is really in that older individual is really to determine what they want in terms of a preference. And now my impression, again, I'm getting older every minute that I'm sitting here, but my impression is most people in their 60s, 70s, or 80s have lived a full life and they know what they want to do with the rest of their lives. They've seen family members come and go. They have relationships. So if I have an elderly individual who has, for example, an IDH mutant disease, I'm going to say to them, do you want to get venetoclax HMA? In our center, that requires you to come into the hospital for a minimum 1 week and possibly 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the complications that you develop with the myelosuppression. Then you need to make the commitment to continue to get that HMA every week of every month going forward until it stops working, and or to take the venetoclax pill and come in for transfusion support. So there are some people that would say, I don't really want to be hospitalized for a week, 3 or 4 weeks. I don't really want to get 1 week of hypomethylating therapy for the rest of my life, okay? Best case scenario, this works. That's what we're looking at, right? We don't know how long to give the hypomethylating agent. We don't know how long to give venetoclax. We do, with that upfront regimen, get about 50% of our patients alive at a year or 2 years afterwards. But that's with a significant amount of time at our center, right? Then there are going to be some patients that say, I don't really want to do that. And for those patients, despite the high response rates, 60, 70, 80, 90% response rates with the venetoclax-based regimen, some of those patients are going to say, particularly the IDH1, IDH2, they are offered the option to take a pill and to go home. Okay, the IDH1, IDH2 are not associated with very much transfusion dependence. In fact, numerous of those patients and part of the approval of those agents in the unfit population was because they make a certain percentage of those patients transfusion independent. I would have to say that the overwhelming majority of my patients treated with venetoclax become transfusion dependent for some degree of time. So I think that when we look at pure response rates for IDH mutant disease, newly diagnosed, older, unfit, clearly the winner is venetoclax HMA-based therapy. But for certain individuals who don't want the side effects or the duration of treatment, IDH inhibitors are an option. Similarly, for FLT3, I would, in contrast in FLT3, I would always advocate using a FLT3 agent upfront. I feel like, again, as we've talked about, suppressing that clone is important to me. There is also emerging data that although FLT3 mutant AML patients respond similarly, maybe 50% or more with venetoclax HMA-based regimens, there is emerging data when you look at patients who recur after venetoclax HMA, they are recurring, high percentage of them are recurring with FLT3 mutations. And if you look at patients that don't respond, a high percentage of those patients have FLT3 mutations. So FLT3 mutation could be a very relevant clinical mechanism of resistance to ven-HMA, in which case I would rather do a FLT3 inhibitor upfront. That's just my bias.